isn't it, Ian? Although it was rainy and we picked up a cold as we got back and had a bit of a roughie and blessing from the worldwide family of God. It's great to be part of such a big family. And I don't know, Ian, do you want to share a bit on your take? The other two that went with us aren't here, so we just thought we'd bring a little bit of greeting and
what's my take on it? It is encouraging to be part of something that's much bigger, and God is accelerating his move in the earth right now. It's quite interesting to see. You know, we see lots of our friends there, and their testimony is that we've told you before about Juarez in Mexico and things like that. They've taken years to build, and in Thailand. You know, yeah, they see boats fall out of the sky and they raise the dead and they heal the sick, and they're starting a coffee business in Thailand. But there was a church in Alabama, I presume they had decent resources, but in January 2018, they caught the vision of the transformation view over their town. They'd been very much about gathering the church and filling their pews with people, and then they heard this message of it's actually about changing the city where they live and changing the world. And they got it. And since January 2018, they just went through so many things that they'd done and started and got out there transforming their community in which they live. And it's interesting that we've always had that as our key heart, that we're here to transform the community in which we live. It isn't about filling lots of seats in here. We can't fill lots of seats in here. That'd be great. But it's about changing the community in which we live and the things that we do here. And I was encouraged, because to be amongst all of that and people who've got years of incredible testimony behind them, and to hear some of them say, because some of them have visited here now, what you're doing here, you have a transformational hub here at Crawley in the community centre right here. And they actually see it as a work that they want to put their weight behind. And so it's encouraging when we think of the transformation, transform our world family. There is a family around Europe, and a big part of that family is here in the UK. And it's people like Ken Gott up in Sunderland, who's known and seen revival in the past and wants to see more than the revival he's seen in the past. And they're making commitments to us to actually say, we're going to come and help. We're going to come and be a part. And Brian Burton, who's from Thailand, who, you know, he sees these incredible miracles. I mean, so regularly they raise the dead from their church and things like that. He said, we'll come. You ask us, we'll come. And Steve and Vicky Orsillo from Oroville in California, they want to come over next year and come. So we're wondering what that's going to look like, and whether we actually get something going here in Crawley or whether it's somewhere else that will be accessible to all of you to come along and be a part and meet Steve and Vicky, meet Brian and Margaret, meet whoever else shows up, Ken Gott and the others. They want to make it accessible to you. So whether it happens in Crawley or somewhere close by or somewhere in the southeast, but there's a heart to want to do that, because they want to be behind what's happening here. And the same in Bristol, is terrific work going on. And praise God, they got a really positive article in The Guardian yesterday over at Bristol. That was good, because after they'd had a horrendous article in another newspaper. So my take on it is that God is accelerating his work. He's doing good things. And we're not that far away from being on the right track. We just need to be more intentional, more prayerful, more get up and go, I guess. Although plenty of you do have plenty of get up and go, so I don't want to diminish that. I really praise God for what we have here and the involvement we have in Lighthouse and Street Pastors and the coffee shop and the Friday meal. And our prayer meeting is well attended, comparatively. We'd get up at 6 every morning at the conference to be at a prayer meeting by 7. There are 800 attendees at the conference, and the prayer meeting maybe was 25, 30 people. Now you look at our prayer meeting as a percentage, and we outstrip that by loads. So well done again for everybody who's got a heart to see God move. And God is moving, and if we give him our hearts in that way, he's going to do good things for us. And there are fun stories, there are fun testimonies.
Share the one, Brian's one.
But the football or the other one?
Both of them.
Both of them. I'll share the football one. So Brian Burton, he's been a missionary in Thailand for a long time now, him and Margaret. together, and they are seeing phenomenal things happening. But he's from Wolverhampton, so he's a bit of a Midland kid like me, and he supports Wolverhampton. Now, when I was up in Stafford, Wolverhampton was our nearest, apart from Stoke and Wolverhampton, first division clubs in those days, not Premier League. But they're always bouncing up and down, getting relegated. And Wolverhampton had gone through a couple of bad seasons. And when Brian was home, I think it was last year or the year before, I can't remember the dates, but recently, and Wolverhampton had a hard time. And the chairman of the club, because they connect with Brighton in Thailand, they send stuff out to them to support the mission out there, which is amazing. That's what the club do. And they said, Brian, the club's in real trouble. Will you come and pray? The chairman of the club, will you come and pray with us around the ground? So Brian said, sure. So Brian, they went and the chairman of the club and one or two others, and they prayed at all the four corner posts and into the goal posts. And they went over to the manager's chair because they hadn't got a manager then. And Brian says, Lord, release a manager who is the right man for the club. Within a week, a big Chinese business, one of the most wealthy businesses in China, bought the club. A few weeks later, they appointed a manager who has a Spanish name. But when you translate his Spanish name into English, it's called Mr. Holy Spirit. And he buys a player whose first name is Jesus. And they start winning games. I mean, it's just... And they're doing well. It's fun because they're playing Newcastle today. And Ken Gott is an ardent Newcastle supporter. And he'll be with his grandsons at the game. I'm not saying God supports a football club particularly. But Brian wanted to bless the club. And they asked him to bless the club. And God blessed them. But I think it's hilarious you end up with a manager called Mr. Holy Spirit. I just think that's just hilarious. And then he tells the story of how he came into missions in the first place. He was at university, and correct me if I miss anything in the story. And he felt a challenge to go on this particular outreach event that was challenging people into missions. And he kind of felt a nudge from the Lord and went, well, okay, maybe. And he picked up an application form. So this is a long time ago now, because while he was just a young man at university up in Harrogate. And he wasn't sure. He wasn't that keen on the idea of going into missions work. Let's just put it like that. And the train on its way into Harrogate actually pulls up on the highest viaduct in the country. And it's stranded on the viaduct. And it's there 5 hours and it doesn't move. And Brian says, well, while I'm sitting here, I might as well fill in this form. So he pulls out the form and starts to fill it in to go on this missions course. And as soon as he starts filling in the form, the train moves. I'm glad he didn't tell the rest of the passengers why God was holding up the train. and he phoned his friends in Harrogate to come and collect him from the station. So he's having to wait at Harrogate station for his friends to come and collect him. And he gets off and he's sitting there. He says, well, I've filled in the form, Lord, but I haven't got an envelope. And just then an envelope blew across the floor to his feet. So he addressed the envelope and he put the address on it and stuck down the envelope. And he says, well, it's okay because I haven't got a stamp. You know what, I'm next, don't you? A stamp just happened to blow down in front of him. And he stuck the stamp on and posted it. And the rest becomes history because he then went to Thailand.
Austria
first, yeah. They went to a conference in... Yes, it's funny. He went to a conference in Austria because he was then going to become an AOG missionary. And went to this conference in Austria where he sees this beautiful young woman, Margaret, and decides that's God's woman for him, and goes and proposes to her and she turns him down. So he thinks, well, what can I do? He hasn't got much money. So he goes and buys the most expensive hot dogs, German hot dog, Frankfurter, that he could imagine and presents that to her and asks her again to marry him. So at this hot dog stand, she accepts his proposal. That's a crazy story, isn't it? And now we roll forward 30 years, because they're celebrating their 30th anniversary, and they go back to Austria. And they've just started, as part of the church life there, they're starting coffee shops. So they're going to...
We told them about that in Lausanne, didn't we,
About going up the mountain. We told you that story last year and finding the coffee. And they've got the first coffee shop open. It's called Kingdom Coffee. And they've got this crown as a symbol on the door. And this is to save kids from the streets. This is to save kids from trafficking. To actually get them into jobs and get a place for them to be. And they're going to open these coffee shops right across Thailand. And do Starbucks out of business. Praise God. That would be great. And he's trying to sell us some of the coffee as well. As we start exporting it. And we might get some here at some point. because he says it's the best coffee in the world. And but when they were there in Austria just this last few months ago, just celebrating their 30th, they went back to the hot dog stand. And on the hot dog stand, they noticed, and they'd never noticed it before, the symbol on the hot dog stand was the same crown that they've put on their coffee shops in Thailand. It's just like a kiss of God, of his goodness. And that's just one thing they're doing there in Thailand. But the point is, it's about changing the city. It's about changing the nation. It's about changing the country. And I tell you, they can't do much worse than Starbucks, that's for sure. Because the hotel we stayed in Monterey, they only did Starbucks coffee. And I thought it was awful, quite honestly. It was horrendous. It was unpalatable. Couldn't drink it at all. Not that I'm a coffee fan anyway, so it doesn't really matter. But they have just a completely different culture. And the culture they're bringing through their coffee shops is very completely against the culture that is presented by Starbucks. That Starbucks wants this to be your third space. This is the space where you go and find peace and rest. That's what Starbucks believe. That's your place to find sanctuary and peace. That's their ethic around their coffee. And so it's interesting. Is there anything else you want me to add to that? I think one thing that was a challenge for me, and it has been since we've come home, particularly as we've not been particularly well, they have seminars and things in the afternoon. So it was a huge honour that I was asked to speak at one of the seminars in the afternoon, because it's a big deal at the conference. And Barbara Chan, who was running the seminar on spiritual warfare, she said, "Ian, can you submit a paper so I can submit that to Ed and know that it's okay?" So in the space of a morning that I had free, I needed to write about 3,000 words of what I was going to teach. And it went really well. I just thank God for that. And then Barbara sent me a message yesterday and said, would I write up the whole of my teaching on spiritual warfare for these end times? And she's going to translate it into China. It's going to go into mainland China and into the church in China. So I'm kind of a bit overawed. The Lord keeps telling me about writing. And when we were, the weekend before, we just managed to have a weekend up at Reading in Bethel. So no particular conference on or anything. But we wanted to spend time with Gail and Alex. I hope you remember Gail and Alex, the young Chinese couple that were here. They are doing so well. It's a joy to be with them. We think of them like our kids. They don't look like our kids, I know, but we think of them like our kids. And it was a joy just to spend a weekend with them. And they'd had the terrific honour of being selected of travelling with Bill when he went to Florida a few weeks ago. And they were very excited. They were going to apply for their missions trip for next March. And they were hoping to go to Malaysia and Australia. And the day after we left them, they texted us, very exciting, saying, we've been told what our mission trip's in. Bill has selected us to travel with him again. So they were very excited. That's a huge honour. There's only 12 students get to go with Bill. And there's 800 students in their year group. So that's a massive honour. They are doing so, so well. We went to their house. And they still need finances. They still need all that stuff. There's a challenge of faith for them. And that was great. And we got to meet up with some friends. God is just so good. I mean, one of our dear friends there, Steve and Kim Beaumont, they'd lost their son earlier in the year in a tragic car accident. He was only in 21, 22. And I wished I could have been there to just be with them. But you can't always do these kind of things. And we pinged a message over to the office and didn't get any reply. And then we decided we'd go to the service that Gail and Alex go to, which is now in an Art Deco theatre over the other side of town, not at the Bethel Main conference. And we walked in, and who's there? And it's Steve and Kim were both there. And it was just good to just go and meet them. That's just the goodness of God. Just my heart was just wanting to be with them. And that's just how he is. That's the good father we have, that he looks after little details. And of course, Bill Johnson, we didn't see him that weekend at all because we weren't around that Bethel much. But he was with us in Monterey at the main conference. And I just had to go over to Bill and pull out of my pocket a photograph of Gail and Alex and said, Bill, these are our kids. I want you to look after them. And he goes, I know. But it was just fun to do that. And at the last Friday in the conference, some of you might have looked it on Facebook, but there was Bill and Chris and Danny Silk and Sean Bolts, and Che Ann, and who else? Lance Walnow, and Bishop Vaughan McLaughlin. I mean, these are some huge ministers, all coming together to have one united front, and making a declaration that we're moving ahead together into the world together with a message of transformation and taking the church outside of the walls of the church and saying, this is what we have to do. And that's just phenomenally powerful to have such big ministries like that just come together and say, this is it. And for us to be part of that with Ed is just beyond imagination. It's such an honour. So for me, feeling very honoured, I'd have to say, and feeling very blessed of God in what we're doing. But just seeing the churches and the people coming together in such love and unity. I mean, it's a conference of about 800 people, and there's as much love in the room as there is here. Everybody is very at ease with one another. You sit and have meals together and share things together. It's a huge joy to be in an environment of such love and unity. It's massive, and that was one of my takeaways.
Yeah, it's great to be part of a big family. We're all part. And that's one of the things, again, that Edward kept saying, as various people shared things that were happening and said, but you're all part of it. We are part of it. We are part of it because we're part of the family. And for me, I think the sort of overarching takeaway was that actually everything that happens, everything that people do, it's got to be anchored in love. It's got to be anchored in love. Because that's who God is. John 3:16, God so loved the world that he sent his son to rescue us. The greatest commandment, we're told, is love God, love your neighbor as yourself. And then Jesus comes and he ups the ante on that one and says, actually, I give you a new commandment. Love as I have loved you. That's a pretty high call. Love as I have loved you. He gave everything. He left heaven. He came to earth. He was obedient to God, to death, to save us. Love as I have loved you. And then, again, I think somebody, I can't quite remember who it was that said, but love's got to look like something. Saying that at the conference that they were sharing things, love's got to look like something. And think back on people like Heidi Baker saying, go slow, go low, stop for the one in front of you. That's love. At the conference, well, we mentioned them as well, Steve Orsill, the people from Oroville. They said, yeah, love's got to look like something. What does it look like in Oroville? And they started cleaning the streets of rubbish. Now they've got a really thriving ministry there with amazing seeing the people are coming up from nothing, from real brokenness and things, and thriving through what they're doing there. Ordinary people. That's another big take. Ordinary people doing extraordinary things through God, because it's him that works through us. So the other thing I think was, he said love. It isn't just loving people. It's loving the place where you are. If you don't love the place where you are, something's got to change. If you want to change that environment, that community, you have to love the place. And I think that was, again, Steve was sort of talking about that, because he said when God told them to move to Oroville, he said, that's the last place I wanted to go to. How could you love that place? And they prayed, and God gave him love, real love for the place that changed his outlook and what they were doing. So do we love Broadfield? I hope you can say yes. But if you feel, well, I don't know. I don't know. I've got friends who say, oh, Broadfield is a terrible place. We can ask God. If we haven't got that love, we ask God for it. Because he loves Broadfield. And we might think we're a small little place. But God loves it. And his plans for Broadfield is just as great as any of the things that we've heard about. From these amazing ministries that we hear and talk about. God loves Broadfield just as much. And he's placed us here. We are part of God's family, God's kingdom here in Broadfield. So on your tables, I want you to do a bit of talking. What does it look like to love Broadfield? What do we have to bring to the community here? How do we bring the kingdom? And Holy Spirit, just inspire us to see how we can. That's what we come together to encourage one another, well, to praise God on a Sunday morning, but to encourage one another as well to what we should be, how we grow, how we. So, Holy Spirit, you're the one that inspires us in that. So, as we just talk together, I pray that your inspiration, Holy Spirit, will be on us and I'll write down some bits or pieces that you will tell me later. How do we love Broadfield? What does that look like? What does love look like for Broadfield? What do we bring?
Save my life.
Yes.
Take 5 minutes on the table.
Yes. Talk together. Talk together. I'm going to give you a bit of time. Talk together and we can then come back and share. Well, you're having a good talk. That's good. I'm going to call you to order now because now I want you to share what have you come up with on your tables. How do we love Broadfield? Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I know, yes, people are doing things already. Yes, yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And Val doing all her knitting for other people's children.
Yes. Kindness. Acts of kindness, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah, Ian says, give, kindness in Canada, one of their things that they did there, they felt that kindness was a big thing and that they need to be kind. So they actually came up with this superhero, Captain Kindness. I mean, he visited us, didn't he, at the conference? All red, isn't he?
Yeah, like
super,
like ridiculous.
Yeah, but then they thought it was going to be like an event, and they did it once, and they've just had call for that all over. He goes into schools, into hospitals, in all kinds of places to encourage people to be kind.
And they got voted the kindest city in Canada.
Oh, yes, that's right. And that was, Brantford, isn't it? Brantford, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Random acts of kindness, important. Anything else? Yes. Clean, yeah, yeah. 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 We've done a little bit of that in our time. And actually, a couple of weeks ago, well, before we were away, wasn't it? We had the litter picking that, again, has been a community thing. And it was really good. It was really blessed by people. I think, you know, people felt blessed. In fact, when we, I think it's when we went into Broadfield to do Lighthouse Assembly, I might have seen some of you. And yes, the kids were really keen to say they'd been part of that. Yeah. Important thing for the community. Oh, yes.
People friendly here.
Friendly.
I live in Langley Green. When I get off the bus, it's like a sense of belonging. I don't really know anybody over there, so everybody says hello to me over here.
Yeah, belonging. Belonging is a big, big thing, isn't it? We all want to belong and to make ways of where people feel that they can belong. That's really important. Yes. Listen to strangers. No. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Big part giving. Yeah. I mean, giving over your time is one of the greatest gifts you can give, isn't it? And it's a bit like what you were saying earlier. Yeah.
I find them, because obviously everyone knows you here, I find people can be really encouraging.
Be encouraging.
Things that you want to achieve.
Yeah.
So I find it a lot.
Encouraging others. Feeding? Yeah. Yes. Sydney. Sorry, you're going to have to say that again. So, yes. Yes. Oh. Yes. Wow. Parenting. We need to encourage good parenting. Yes. Thank you, Sydney. I knew you'd be part. Great. Anyone who's bursting to say something? Yeah. Love. Yeah, yeah, love. But it's got to look like something. So how do we make it practical? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Great.
How about we speak well of the place every opportunity we have?
Yes. Show pride in the place. That's really good. Yes. Encourage the community. Yes. 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 Pick up on the positives. There's so much negative stuff around, isn't there? And it's so easy when you get together to fall into just join in with all the complaining and the negative. But we need to be positive. We need to come in the opposite, absolutely. Yeah. That's right.
I also remember Ian saying something quite some time ago. If you're standing in the supermarket here, you know, like down the street, and it gets a little busy, everybody's system's a bit stroppy, or, you know, very far.
Yes.
Maybe it's not even quite there.
Yeah.
Trying to be found, because you don't know what that person's been.
Right. No. No.
You know, you can get irritable and think.
Yeah.
But, you know, while you're standing in the supermarket, look at the people
there. Yeah. Yeah, that's right, and that's we should not see that as just when we bless somebody. We need to realize that actually that's really powerful. Yeah, that's really great. You know, we're all meant to shine. You know that again, as we with the conference, that's one of the words: arise, shine, for your light has come. Your light that will draw nations, it says, to you, to the body of Christ. We all have a part to play. There are no spectators in God's kingdom. Ephesians 2:10 says that we are God's workmanship, and he has made us for good works that he has prepared for us in advance. Makes me think back on that coffee shop, like Brian said, God knew 30 years ago, you know, with that symbol, that was it. That was in his heart already then. We didn't know about it, and now we're there because they were obedient and followed what the Lord laid on their heart. God has all given us gifts, natural gifts, spiritual gifts, and we are to use them in the kingdom, to bring the kingdom, to show. So again, I want you, but actually I'm not going to give you time to talk. I'm just going to ask you to say some of the gifts that people might have. I see gifts in, I see Carol. She started the birthday card gift, you know, sending those out. Something that, you know, we thought, well, no. And it's been, you know, people come, p- people come to church. If they don't come to church at other times, they come to church. Most of them. when we sing happy birthday. And people love to receive that card. It means something because it shows that someone has thought of you and you belong. But I mean, there's so many. Some gifts are very obvious. Ian does a lot of teaching. We have the worship leaders that lead us in worship. Some of the things are not quite so obvious. But we all have gifts. What kind of gifts do you see in people? Well, we are seeing Marie and Val, very generous, always giving gifts. Or being there for people. I know Debbie, people, and Diane, people just know them. You know, we know Debbie, we know Diane, because they give themselves to people. Absolutely. Hospitality, huge, huge gift. And Irma's got that to abundance. Doesn't mean that others can't do that as well. But it seems to be that, you know, we have things that we love. You know, Brenda, with the knitting and drawing people together. I love that craft thing. And you know, it can be used. It can be used in great ways. For me, it was really an honor to be part of when we had the people come from all over, and we had that meeting with Ed in May, and we had a reconciliation between Ireland and England. And I'd made a cross, a Celtic cross. And actually, Clifford came at the conference and said, "We do treasure that. We treasure that cross. It means something. What happened there was important." So that's just a gift that was used for something that didn't seem big at all, but God can use it. Yes, yes, yeah, absolutely, yeah. We have gifts of speaking words for others in which we really need that kind of encouragement. I know that is something, and we need that more as well. Yeah.
Pauline has the gift of when she reads, she tells a story. I've listened to Pauline all day.
Yes. 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 Yeah. Yes. Just being able. Yeah, she's got a very good voice. It's a voice that's good to listen to. Yes. It's good to see our youngsters. Yeah. Isn't it lovely to have the little ones be part of the worship? We all have a gift. If you don't think you have a gift, get together with somebody and pray together and find out what that gift is and start using it. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Friendship. Being there for somebody else. Like we said earlier, to give time, to listen, to be a friend. It's a great gift that God has given. And they're all different. And we mustn't try to be what somebody else is. Just, you know, we've got to be ourselves. Because God has made each one of us unique. And when, again, the Bible says the body is, you know, the family of God is like a body. And when every part does its, what they should be doing, what they are, when they are what they should be, that body works perfectly. And if there is some deficiency, then we pray for it and we pray for one another to get that to work better. I think people have said to us, we've heard that we, as a fellowship, we are loving. And that is important. But it made me also think back to, you know, we've been reading in Revelation about the words to the churches, and Ephesus had this word: "You're doing great things, but you've fallen from your first love." There was a warning there, and we need to take heed. Oh, can you hear me? Do I need to be? Is that better? Yeah, okay. I'll get closer. we need to make sure that, yes, it's great. It's great to hear that we are loving. But we need to take care as well that we don't just fall away from it. We need to keep on loving. We need to be obedient to what the Lord says, and we need to persevere. We don't despise the small things, but nor should we should dream big as well. We're told to dream big dreams and to believe that the Lord will be leading us on and helping us to move into more things. Not to just plod along. Sometimes I think, oh, we're just plodding along. Because that's what we've always done. Yes. Yes, we will. We will get there. We need to encourage one another. We need to pray for each other. So, you know, and pray for the place. Again, we started, when we came back a few years ago, we wanted to start a little prayer groups. Because prayer and prayer evangelism is a big part of what Transform Our World is all about. So, you know, again, we started the groups and I think some of them faded. But again, we try and get together with the people that are close to you, with people that have similar interests or you do similar things or you live nearby. Get together, pray for each other, pray for the place. Ask God what he wants to do through you there. And then we bless. We talked about that as well. The importance of blessing. Don't join in with all the criticism and the negative stuff, the complaints. Be positive, speak what the Lord actually will give to you to speak. Meet the felt needs, another big part. Use those gifts that we've been given to help those around us. What they feel they need help with. Sometimes we jump in and think, oh, actually you need to be this and this. But start where they're at. That's what we need to do. Build relationships. And then proclaim Jesus, obviously. When we have that relationship, we can do that. Then we give our testimonies. So we love. So I'm going to finish by just reading the very famous 1 Corinthians 13. I'll show you a more excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but don't have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but I don't have love, I'm nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. It doesn't boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. How easily do we get offended? Love does not get offended. Don't take offense at things people say or do. Pray for them. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. If there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. Then I shall jump down to the end and say the last verse. Now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. That's what we need to hang on to. and anchor everything in. And we, yes.
I was just sensing when Rachel shared earlier, and Kevin prayed, and that's good, but I think we need to bring Rachel out again and pray in proxy over Rachel for her friends. We love Rachel. Do we love Rachel?
How yes.
Do you? And love looks like something. And I don't know how many of you have been remembering to bless, speak blessing over Rachel when you looked at your phones.
Yes.
Yeah. I think I've, by the grace of the Holy Spirit, I think I've managed to do that at least once a day. But love looks like something. And I can see Rachel's hurting because of her friends. Now, if we love Rachel. Yeah. And but we need to pray for Rachel. And so whether you feel comfortable to stand up, we can gather around you. But I want you to activate out of your love for Rachel. Rachel loves her friends. Therefore, you love Rachel's friends. Yeah. Do you understand that? That what Rachel loves, you love.
Yeah.
Because if you love Rachel, then you love her friends. How much do you love them? Do you love them enough to storm the gates of heaven right now and call down a blessing that would dramatically change this family's... Do you sense where I'm trying to go with this? Mm. I want you to have such a passion in your heart as we pray for Rachel that we really believe in a loving God that is going to change something because we love. Not because we demand, not because we say some magic words, clever words about this or that, or we know how to pray this way or that way, but because we love. Love impacts the heavenly realm. And we're praying from the heavenly realm because we're seated with Christ in heavenly places. We're not pleading with a distant Father. We're sitting on his knee right now. We're sitting in the same place that he occupies. And we're talking to our Father God. Jesus says, if you come to the Father and ask anything in my name, we'll do it. He meant that. But he expects you to do it sitting with Father, doing it because of love. So let's just activate our hearts. Let's not have any person in the room who's not focused and active on this. And let's believe for a breakthrough. I want to hear good testimony. We hear so many good testimonies of from our friends around the world, and we do have testimonies here. But you know, this is preoccupying Rachel's heart and mind right now because her friends are in need. Well, we love Rachel, so let's express that love tangibly. If you want to gather around and lay hands on Rachel, if you want to pray out, or you just believe in faith in your heart, but don't be passive right now. Just don't be passive. Just reach out. Thank you, Jesus.